So I let my wife wax my butthole hairs today.
Hello and welcome to Just Some Guardians, episode 12, Nerd Talk number 4. Once again, this is our in-between Destiny discussion, bi-weekly, where we discuss all things nerdy, other video games, comic books, movies, TV shows, tax returns, whatever you want to discuss. Whatever we want to discuss,
my butthole.
Waxing buttholes. Whatever you think is
like
right.
Like a waning butthole?
It's a full butthole tonight.
Ew.
The new butthole. We're off to a good start. Oh, God. The red butthole. Once every 20 years.
It's an anal eclipse.
Total anal eclipse
of
the heart.
No, it's an anal occultation.
Well, joining me tonight, oh, God, I have my ever wonderful, sensual co-host, Nick. What's up, baby?
Hello. I just found the Vespoids in the ancient forest. I am farming myself some insects.
Yeah. The other voice with us tonight is the effervescent Russell. What's up?
I feel like there should be some, like, tinkling that goes along, like, with that part where it's just like tinkle, 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 tinkle.
Next episode I'll get some chimes and I'll just go.
Yeah, yeah. Some like some like fairy tinkles or something.
The
know,
effervescent go. Pause.
Yes.
Russell.
Yes. Thank you. I'm so glad
Beautiful.
That you see things my way.
Absolutely, man. You know? Your way is the best way.
I'm doing good
except
though,
for today.
To answer your question. Other than my butthole.
Right.
My
well, according to what you just
today.
Told us, it was doing good. I mean, now.
I mean, you know, it's smooth as a baby's bottom.
And there's going to be no backstory for this, those of you just listening. You can just let your minds wander.
You're
pre-show,
welcome.
That's all I'm saying. If you were on our Twitch earlier, you'd have known, because it was all recorded. Oh, Lord.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Well, let's do the generic start offs.
My progeny.
Russell.
Yes.
Besides your butthole, what's new this last week in your life?
Well, I have been playing. I started playing Destiny again because I'm trying to get the forged weapons. I mean, that's my main goal. And then you and I, we played the Crimson Days, which still sounds like a period thing. But. So we did
Travelers
that
on this period.
Real quick.
Yes.
Children woke up. I'll be back. Co-host,
oh,
do your work.
Okay. So, yes, continue.
So Brett and I did that. It went pretty well. We won 2 out of 5 matches, so we weren't doing...
So what is... And I haven't done anything Destiny out of pure spite. So, like,
right.
Refresh. Like, what is this moon flow of an event?
So Crimson Days is like their Valentine's Day event that runs for a week. And then we did, what was it, Bloody Doubles or something like that? I don't know. It was something equally squeamish, you know, horror-inducing. And so that was a 2-on-2 Crucible match, which, you know, Brett and I did okay. We like we said, we won 2 of the 5, and the ones that we lost horribly, just to the point of embarrassment almost, you know?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but, you know, it's still fun. Still fun. And then I've just been running around. I'm trying to level up my Warlock a little bit, which I found actually has a great return on the... the farmables that you need to unlock the prophecies, the lost prophecy things, the
mm-hmm.
lost prophecy tablets, I think is what they're called.
Yeah, for the forge weapons.
Mm-hmm. So I've got, right now I've got the scout rifle, I'm almost done with the SMG, and I got the sword the other day, which I was super excited about.
Nice. Isn't it pretty?
It is beautiful. It makes my heart go ba-boom. And then I've been playing a lot of Overwatch too, because I've been me and you and your mom and everybody, but I've also been playing a lot by myself, just trying to up my soldier game because I feel like I have a pretty solid Reinhardt, but a good DPS is always handy too, you know. So I've been working on that, and that's all I've been doing really this week. I mean,
Cool,
other than,
cool.
you know, actual life work stuff, but that's no fun. So nobody wants to hear about that. Oh, and getting my butthole waxed. But other than that.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
For more information, see the pre-show.
What have you been up to this week, Nicaris?
Well, I found out that I had enough like in-store credit at GameStop and trade-in value in my old game library that, you know, I say old game and some of those are not old, but anyway, I was able to pick up Monster Hunter World finally
For free.
for free. I think I paid like $1
That's awesome.
out of pocket. And
Yeah.
so I've been loving and hating it. Hating it because of one specific monster that I had to kill alone earlier today, and then Brett and I did a hunt and failed twice,
Did
and
they
then
cut off?
finally brought it down a third time. No, it's called the Anjanath. It's like a
Oh.
big nasty T-Rex thing. It's
Oh,
just
was that? I think they showcased that one in E3 for one of their trailers, didn't they?
think so. I know they had
I
a
know there was a big T-Rex type monster that they did for their E3 demo, and the dragon swoops in from the nest and like swallows it, or they end up fighting or something.
Oh dear, that's terrifying.
Yes, it was rather intense.
So I've been playing that, and it's been fun. I've been like having a hard time figuring out like which weapon I wanted to really focus on, because there are so many. There are 14 or 15 weapons in the game, and each one, even the ones that are similar, like the sword and shield, has, you know, similarities with the charge blade, because the charge blade is a sword and shield as well. But they're very different. They're completely different in practice. And so it's been a struggle for me because I want to participate in group hunts and things, but I'm just not at the comfort level I think I need to be with one of the weapons to actually, you know, what's the word I'm thinking of? To carry my weight, essentially. So I've been struggling with that, trying to figure out like which one I like. Situationally, I really like the sword and shield. And then I started fighting some of the bigger monsters, and I'm like, yeah, this is just going to make me rage quit. Because it's just frustrating. So I've decided, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I actually recently, so I watch a lot of review videos to kind of get an idea of, you know, games that I haven't played, what's going on with them. And
Oh yeah.
they were actually specifically talking about that, about how, you know, they wanted to lean towards something a little bit lighter and faster that allowed them to block a little bit. But they found that some of the heavier weapons, like you're gonna need them later in the game, and you're gonna need to be proficient in them to really take down some of the bigger monsters, that you need some heavy duty damage to really see any kind of move in their health bar.
And that started that like I was realizing that I was like, okay, the sword and shield is great, but if I'm gonna be playing by myself for a lot of time, like I can't use the sword and shield. It just won't work. And you know, maybe once I'm higher level and I have the best gear out there, you know, maybe that's a possibility, but not right now. So I started looking at the ranged weapons. This has literally been most of my week. Started looking at the ranged weapons. There's the light bow gun, the heavy bow gun, and then the hunter's bow or the bow. And of the three, the one that I like the most is the bow, because it's very fast paced. And even though it's a ranged weapon, optimal range for damage potential is actually just outside of melee range. So you're like right there. And then they have this awesome shot called the Dragon Piercer. And you take this arrow that's got bombs attached to the end, and you sweep it against the ground to light the light the fuse, and then you fire it, and you're totally stationary during this whole process. Like normally you can move and strafe and sidestep while shooting, With Dragon Piercer, you can't. But it's a shot that pierces an enemy, and with the big T-Rex Anjanath that Brett and I were fighting earlier, there were a couple moments where, like, he would be facing directly at me or directly away, and I would hit Dragon Piercer, and it would go through him the long way, so I would hit every single hitbox on his body.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's cool. So it has multiple hit boxes that
Oh
you're
my
able
gosh,
to
yes.
pierce through because a piercing round. That makes sense.
Right.
That's neat.
Yeah, it was pretty sick. I was shocked that, like, oh wow, I'm actually able to do that. That's insanity. So, I haven't had too much experience hunting alone with the bow just yet, but it's fairly straightforward. And then, like, obviously there are, like, different ammo types for the bow guns. For the bow, though, it's a different coating that you put on your arrows. And I have, I think, what is it? There's, like, paralysis coating, sleep coating, power coating, close range coating, and then the new one that I just unlocked, or I crafted a bow from the remains of my T-Rex friend. It's basically a bow that has the flame element, and one of the coatings you can use with it is the blast coating, which is exactly what it sounds like. You hit things with it and explodes.
It kind of reminds me, and as I was playing the beta, and I'm sure it was either Bloodborne got this from, I'm assuming Bloodborne kind of picked it up from Monster Hunter because Monster Hunter's been around for forever. But you know how you have the weapons that they kind of transform and then they do different things. Like you can have a smaller weapon that then transforms into a heavy weapon that you can do some real damage with. I forget which sword it was, but that was the one that I used a lot during the beta.
I know that Charge Blade is, like, because it's a sword and shield, and then you can attach the shield to the sword, and then you swing the sword, and all of a sudden the shield becomes the head of an axe, and the sword is the handle.
That was the one that I was speaking of. And
Okay.
it reminded me a lot of Bloodborne, because Bloodborne had that kind of interesting, those kind of interesting weapons where you could transform it halfway or during a combo to make it do different things. Like I remember specifically there was an axe that then you could take and you could elongate the handle, and then you got different combos that you could use with it, and plus you had a lot more reach and you could do different things with it. And then they had like a sword that you stuck into the sheath, which was massive, and then it turned into like a great sword. And I do like that about Monster Hunter. I think that that's one of the cool things that Bloodborne did, and I like that Monster Hunter has that ability too, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, like diversity, even in one weapon.
Thank you, the diversity. That's the word I was looking for.
So yeah, one of the weapons I was giving a whirl was the Charge Blade. The axe you're talking about, I think it's called the Switch Axe. That's the one my younger brother, who is like the Monster Hunter guru that Brett and I are seeking, advice from at the moment. He's a hardcore Switch Axe user. And he gets a kick out of the fact that, it's a big axe to begin with, but then he switches it, and it's all of a sudden a big axe that's four times taller than his character.
I like that kind of, and too, I don't, if I feel like that's an anime thing, the oversized weapons that make you feel superhuman in your usage of them, you know what I mean?
It's a
Right. Oh, it's a
Japanese
fun.
thing. It really is. It really is. So that's really what I've been doing this week. So yeah. Oh, I finally got the Arkham Horror game I, like, bled your guys' ears about last time we
Oh,
talked,
yes.
Nerd
Oh, did
Talk.
you?
I finally got Jake to play it with me. We did the intro scenario together,
That's awesome. How did it
and
go? Did he enjoy it?
I think it went well.
Good.
I built the deck. Didn't I talk about this last time? I think I did.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, but I told you guys we did the scenario. Yeah, never mind. We've talked
Oh,
about this
yeah,
already.
okay. That's I thought
Oh, that
you
was
had
that
told
card game.
us last
Sorry.
time that you had
You
played it,
mentioned,
but
yeah, I think you mentioned like three or four, and then you talked in great detail about one of them, so I think that was the one, yeah.
Yeah, okay, never mind. I thought that was after. My sense of time is all weird because of my work schedule. But
Oh, you're
anyway,
good.
we've done the second scenario now,
Oh,
and it
yeah.
was one
Okay.
that because he was like, yeah, okay, it was fun, you know. And then we did
Right.
the second one, and instead of it being like location-wise, instead of it being the study, and then like you fall through the floor, and then it's three different rooms, and that's it. In this one, in this scenario, you literally travel around the entire city of Arkham, Massachusetts.
That's awesome.
So it's like a nine space board that you build, and then
Oh, really?
as you investigate different locations, three more locations get added on. So it ends up being a city of 12 individual like landmark locations, and you have to navigate it, and yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool. That does sound. I love deck builders, and I really want to play this game now that you've described it.
Yes.
I'm excited to come out and try that next time.
Defecation proclamation.
I think
Across the
when you
nation.
go out next, Brett, we should plan it together, and then that way
Oh,
both
that'd
of
be
us can
super
go up
fun.
there.
Well, I was actually
That would be
thinking it'd be
cool.
fun if we did like a for like the very end of season one of Overwatch League, if we all just like flew out there and had a raging party.
That would actually be a lot of fun.
That would be
I'd be
super
down for
fun.
that.
All right. I'll talk to everyone. We'll see if we can get
Oh,
that
yeah.
going. That'd be super fun. A Just Some
Oh, yeah.
Guardians meetup. What?
Chickens. So yeah, that's pretty much been what I've been up to this week, gaming wise. Nothing more extravagant. A little bit of Overwatch, but you know, that's like breathing.
Right.
Yeah. What have you been up to this week, Brett?
Yeah,
Oh,
Brett.
that's right. I can answer this. Maybe I can answer this.
Can
Hold
you?
on.
I've been up to nothing.
Good
Work
Lord.
and children.
So I've been on the Monster Hunter train as well this week. I started in on this, and it is so nice to jump back into Monster Hunter. Like I've mentioned before, I played it a lot on the Wii, and oh, it feels so good. It's way better than I could ever have imagined it, ever running or playing or how in depth. Oh, I'm so happy with it. The crafting, the actual fighting, the getting pissed off at monsters because you can't figure them
Yeah.
out the first two or three times. And I mean, there's been a few that like kicked my ass the first couple times. We've gone, you know, because each monster has its own set of like, you know, armor and stuff you can craft from them and stuff. But there's been a few that we've gone back to kill a few times now, and I'm like, oh, I understand how to do this now, and oh, I can almost do the whole thing without taking any damage. I am a god. So that's a good feeling to go from, I'm trash, I'm uninstalling my game, to I'm the greatest hunter ever at
Right.
Monster Hunter at rank like 5 or whatever I'm at. Only 95 to go, right?
Something like that.
I think there's 100 levels. But so yeah, I've a couple rounds here or there of Monster Hunter, or Monster Hunter of Overwatch. I haven't slept in 4 days. These kids are fun.
Lucky you.
Right. And then just doing all the little stuff in WoW. I've got almost got all the reputations for Legion to Exalted, and that's super exciting because that unlocks a bunch of stuff. All the allied races coming out, I'll be able to play those when I finally sit down and pre-order and all that good jazz. And then so they just had their Valentine's event, and so one of the mounts you can buy for love tokens costs like 270 tokens, and you have to do dailies. Like, there's a dungeon you can run. There's some dailies you can do in the city to like feed people chocolate and like give a heart-shaped box to the king. And
Oh, come feed me chocolate.
right here, give me a token. Then you can fly to Silver Pine Forest and kill a bunch of dudes for more tokens. And so it took me 2 weeks to get enough for this mount, and I bought it, and it's the stupidest thing I've ever ridden in my life. And I'm like, oh God. What have I done? So yeah, that was that. I'll just add that to the mount count, but definitely, I was hoping for something cooler.
What is it?
It's like a,
Is it the pink tail tall strider?
yeah, that one.
Oh, you poor thing.
But it's not the up like they did an updated model, but the mount didn't get the updated model.
Oh.
It's nasty. It looks like it's been plucked and ready to be eaten for Thanksgiving. It's disgusted looking. But I'm like, well, all right, I did that. That's a memory. Go me.
I mean, I guess.
Right.
Aren't you just so proud of yourself, Brett?
Absolutely. Besides that,
Absolutely.
it's just been work and parenting. As my son Ethan has gotten older, and it's not just nap and feed and nap and feed, and he actually like needs
Wait, what? He's
attention
in
from
college now,
everybody.
isn't he?
Yeah, he just graduated. He just got a job at a law firm. I'm super excited for him.
Well, aren't you just so proud?
I am. They grow up so fast, you know. 20 years felt like 6 months. It was the craziest thing.
Right? That's what happens when you don't chew your food.
Absolutely, man. Jesus. But yeah, I've suddenly been having much less time to do things, but that's all right. They're
Right.
cute. I'll deal with it.
He'll
Speaking
get
of
more
cute.
time from you,
Eventually.
so I guess they'd have to be.
So that's what we've been doing this week. I keep getting distracted because my kids keep waking. My daughter's got a toothache, and then we've put Ethan in that in a trying to move him up to a bigger bed, and it's in her room. So every time she's been waking up screaming with her tooth, it's waking him up.
Oh no.
Yeah, so they were fine until the second we started recording the podcast, and then this has been going on back and forth. So,
Oh, of course, just
so
when
I
you
apologize
actually,
for being in and out probably this entire show. But you know.
Well, that's why you don't do things that do things while doing things.
Absolutely. That was deep, dude. Like,
Well, and it wouldn't really
very
be a Just Some
philosophical.
Guardians podcast without Brett leaving every once in a while.
That's true. I don't want to listen to you guys anyway, so it's all good.
Don't blame you.
I don't blame
I
you.
don't blame you. Life will go on. But I think the main segment we were discussing tonight, since the Black Panther movie just released.
Yes.
No, not the one about the other
Ooh.
movement, the Marvel superhero movie. But we were going to
God.
discuss
Wow.
the Marvel universe and the movies, and I think we're going to attempt to choose a favorite, maybe a top three, I don't know. We'll see where it goes, but that was kind of the main segment we were looking at doing tonight.
I mean, I
Woo
can't tell you a favorite, but I can tell you the best one.
That actually made sense.
Which one's that?
I don't know.
Oh. He can't tell you what he doesn't know, okay? That's just the way the rules go.
I can't do it, Captain.
But without giving away spoilers, Russell, I know you're the only one of us that has seen Black Panther. You went and saw it last night, right?
Yes, I did.
All right, just let it out. How was it?
All right. I honestly thought, I mean, I'll be honest, I think it might be my favorite one.
Damn.
Because, and here's the reason. It hit a lot of notes. You didn't have I like what Marvel's done lately, where they've introduced heroes to kind of give them a quick origin. They don't take a whole movie to do it, and then they give them their own movie. They've done that with Spider-Man, and they've done that with Black Panther, and I think that that's a good way to go because I think people are tired of the origin stories. So, and they've got such a big universe now that it's like, okay, we can introduce them in, an Avengers movie or whatever, and then have their own movie so you can kind of see them in their own element and get their own stories kind of thing. I really enjoyed it. The acting was great, the writing was great. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of The Lion King. I don't know, maybe it was just because of the African flavor to it.
Racist.
Maybe the music. No, I mean like the music and the kind
I'm
of
kidding.
Did the movie start with a slow sunrise in front of a bunch of zebras?
No, no, I did not actually.
Pennsylvania,
But
Guayama, Guayama. That's not how it started.
it had that kind of music, and it had these
Oh, it
really
did.
cool drums. I mean, it was. I don't. All I can say is African because I'm not sure of the different cultural aspects or the tribal aspects of some of the music,
Such a white guy
or
thing.
even if they're accurate in that kind of context. But the drums were intense, and kind of lent this kind of intensity to the whole movie that was really, really well done, as far as, in my opinion. And then the story was just, I thought it was a great story. It was interesting enough, and the actors sold it, is really what made it good, was the actor sold it and made this story good. And I liked what they did, because it feels like a lot of the Marvel movies and a lot of the Disney movies, they've kind of taken that Guardians of the Galaxy kind of direction to their movies, where it's kind of
I've noticed
wacky and
that.
zany and hilarious, which is great. But sometimes it's not. I don't think it's needed. Like, it definitely works for some movies, like Guardians of the Galaxy. That's fantastic. It's the right mood that you want to set for it. But this one, it was serious, but then it also had its great one-liners that most of the Marvel movies have. But it was, I felt like it was more in line with the comic book, if that makes any sense. And plus, I love Black Panther, the his costume and his kind of story. I always thought was really kind of cool. He's kind of like the Marvel Batman, if that makes any sense.
Oh, no, actually, definitely, but like not like a lot of like Marvel DC
He's not
characters
as
are like
gritty or
copy
dark.
pasted from each other, and that's one of them that's like
Yeah.
basically the same, yet completely opposite.
Yeah. It kind of has a similar kind of context of super rich person, trained to the point of excellence. And that, but the difference with Black Panther is he has a herb that he takes when he becomes the Black Panther,
And I'm pretty
which
sure
is a
he's like a hundred
hereditary
times richer
position.
than Batman, right?
Well, he's a king, and the fact that they have vibranium in their city is,
Yeah.
yeah, they're a very wealthy country. But I honestly thought it was one of my favorites. There were some things that, like, may have been quote unquote underdeveloped, but not to a degree that it hindered the story. You know what I mean? So I, like I said, I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I think it's a great addition to the Marvel library, and I think it might be one of my favorites.
Wow, that's
That's
fantastic.
cool.
I think I'm gonna go see that sometime this next week then for sure.
I would. I liked it. And I mean, take everything I say with a grain of salt. I mean, it's not the best movie ever made, but I really enjoyed it. You know what I mean? And I mean, go and see it kind of with that anticipation of it's a Marvel movie and it's going to be good. But don't take what I say and then expect it to be more than it is.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
No, it made perfect sense. And that's easy to do because you didn't just sit here and you explained why it was good instead of just going, "Dear God, guys, this is the greatest thing I've ever witnessed in the history of my life," which a lot of people do
Right.
with a lot of movies that have ruined what should have been a good movie for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, jeez. Well,
Plus, the
Nicholas.
fight scenes were insane.
Oh yeah,
Just to throw that
it's a
out there.
Marvel movie. Like, oh my God. Well, with
Well,
one
and
of
I
the
feel like.
beats Russell hit on there, Nick, how do you like the more recent direction Marvel's been taking things?
What do you mean? Like
Well,
elaborate, I
like
suppose.
God, like Iron Man came out in like 2008, right?
2008, I think. Yeah.
So it's been 10 years of Marvel movies. So probably in the last couple years, I definitely like Russ like when Guardians of the Galaxy hit, like that was huge, and I feel like ever since that movie, they've taken a more. There's always been that comedic value in Marvel movies, and I feel like they really like just punched into that after Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think with some films, yes. Like Ant-Man, it makes sense. Guardians of the Galaxy, it makes sense. Like, I think that was the right decision for them to go that direction. Thor Ragnarok, I thought it was sheer brilliance that they went that direction.
Oh yeah, it was. Thor Ragnarok was very well done.
So, but yeah, no, I think it's been good. I haven't had an issue with it. And trying to think of how I want to phrase it, because it's like I feel like they might be afraid to go with that based on feedback they've been getting lately. I hope they're not afraid to continue and just lean into it, because that's something that I'm like, I don't want that to happen, because I think they need to hang on, they need to just keep going.
Oh yeah, they've
So
definitely. Well, it's almost like there's different generations of the Marvel movies as they come out, and they've hit a stride that works for X amount of movies, and then they try something and it hits, and then do that for a while, and something else hits. So it's nice that it's refreshing, you know, with 10 years of the same movie universe, that it hasn't felt stale because it's constantly progressing and formating into a bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
Or every time they redo the freaking Marvel intro, I'm like, yes, yay, they did it again. You know,
Yeah.
the
Do you
latest
notice
iteration is the
when?
most hype thing I've ever witnessed in my life.
Oh yeah, when they did the trailer for or the teaser for Infinity War, and it was not only the, because you know it's always done the flashes of, like quick scenes from the movies,
Oh, yeah.
but it's also done like comic art, classic comic art. With that recent teaser, it wasn't just flashes of classic comic art, it was flashes of the Marvel Cinematic Universe characters in comic art fashion.
Yes.
And I was like, oh. And then it also did the traditional comic art. And I'm like, okay, that's them, you know, legitimizing and really immortalizing these actors as those characters.
Well, in the Marvel
So.
Cinematic Universe as an experience, I like what you said there because it is. It's moving because their medium for a long time has been comics, and that's what it focused on. Now it seems like they're saying, okay, our media of choice is what I should say, is comic books, but also it's now this universe, this cinematic universe that we've created.
And can I just touch on the Marvel, or is it the Marvel theme or the Avengers theme? Which one is the theme that
The
plays?
Marvel theme.
Is that the Marvel theme? Oh my God, that is so good.
'Cause the Avengers theme, well, I guess it is part of the Avengers
Is it,
theme.
are they
Russ
kind
and
of
I were just
mixed?
talking about this earlier, or yesterday even, sorry. The fact that the Avengers theme has been changed and elaborated on, which is really good.
Well, it's like they found the right balance. They got really good directors for everything. They have like they the casting is amazing. The costume work is always phenomenal. The music on top of it, like they found it. So whatever, like the movie magic is there, and it's the fact that you can have 10 years of movies now at that level is just, oh, it's mind-blowing. I'd love to be there the first meeting. They were like, so this Marvel movie thing is kind of bigger than we thought it'd be. We're gonna need to move some things around here.
Or I'm sure it was shortly after they were approached by Disney and was like, "Hey, we want to give you your own studio to make the movies instead of you having to sell the rights to different movie studios." You know what I mean?
And that was a smart move.
Oh yeah.
And there's
Well,
so
because
much.
before they were good, but they were akin to the DC movies, they were good
Oh, yeah, they were
directly.
all the different studios doing whatever the heck they could.
Exactly.
Right. And bringing it under that one banner, and now it's a powerhouse. I mean, they bought 21st Century Fox, and then before that, they made a deal with Sony so that they could use Spider-Man, for instance.
Right.
And now they have that Disney juggernaut behind them, but also they've become a juggernaut in their own right.
Exactly. A juggernaut within a
Oh, yeah.
juggernaut.
It's actually kind of funny to see the DC universe try and do the cinematic thing, and to me, they're rushing it. They're rushing it hard, and it's not paying off. You know, because it was what, 4 years, 5 years before the first Avengers film came out, and with the DC universe, like they are rushing. The equivalent of Civil War, Batman versus Superman, was their first film. Like, our second film, because Man of Steel was technically the
They
first
just
one. Like,
they got in the game too late, you know.
well, it's not that they got in too late, even. They're going too freaking fast.
Oh, and I think
Well,
that's
and
why,
they
you know. They're trying to make up, you know. By the time they got into it, you'd already had, got like two Captain America movies, three Iron Man. There was an Avengers movie. Like everyone already had an origin story done. Or two, you know, movies, and then already the combined before they even started. And so, yeah, I think that's
Right.
definitely why they've been rushing, because they're like, oh God, We should have seen this as big as it could have been a lot sooner. Whoops.
Well, and I think that one of the big failings for DC is they're not playing true to their characters. Like there were a couple of scenes in Justice League where Batman had, these kind of cutesy one-liners that I'm like, that's not something Batman would say.
Right.
Yeah, I think there was one point where Superman punched Batman or something, and Batman's laying there and he has this witty one-liner, and I can't remember exactly what he said. And I can't even, it was very forgettable now that I think about it, but at the time it's funny, and everybody in the theater laughed, but I'm like, that's not something Batman would say.
There
That's
was
not something,
a lot
that's
of
not true to
dialogue
his
for him that I was
character.
like, I'm pretty sure that should have been in the script for Flash. I'm confused
Yeah,
here.
exactly. Exactly. And so I feel like, I feel like one of the things that DC, I liked Man of Steel. Man of Steel was good for me. I thought that that was a good movie. It felt like Superman, and I felt like it was an interesting update of Superman. I just haven't felt that in anything since. And even like there were these weird moments in Justice League where Superman was like computer animated for whatever reason,
There
like
was
his face.
a lot of moments where just everything was animated at it was super noticeable. You're like, wait,
Yeah,
why?
it was weird. Like, I
Because
don't
it's
understand why you
cheaper
can.
and it cuts down
Why
on
you were animating
time.
his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad.
So are we turning this into a DC Marvel thing, or are we just gonna?
Oh
I'll go
no,
that direction
sorry.
if you want to. No, that's fine.
Sorry.
I'm
No,
down.
so like let's you talked about Black Panther. My God, I couldn't I like wow.
That one movie that just came out.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much.
The one that's all
But
over the
what
place
about
everywhere.
like what are your you said it was you think it's your favorite.
And then I forgot about Thor Ragnarok and how really, really good Thor Ragnarok was.
Yeah,
Because
Ragnarok
as you're
is just
talking about Thor
in its
Ragnarok, I'm
own
like,
league.
oh,
Yeah, that's a
yeah.
whole nother. Oh my God.
But then
They
Guardians
could
of the
just
Galaxy is super
shut
good
everything else
too.
down and just do like more of that. I'm good.
Let me
So,
suffice
and
it to say, it's
Thor, I
one of my
think.
favorites. It's one of my favorites.
See, and that's me in every Marvel film except for Ant-Man. I thought Ant-Man was a piece of shit.
Really? Oh, I loved
I
Ant-Man. Well, I mean, it
see,
was
and I
different.
enjoyed it. I mean, I definitely didn't love it, and I didn't hate it, but I enjoyed it.
I
But
don't
I
like
thought it
Paul
was
Rudd.
good.
Oh, I
Really?
love Paul Rudd.
Like,
Sorry, guys.
I don't think
Yeah.
he belongs in the Marvel Universe. Because I don't like him.
Yeah.
And that's me being terrible, I know.
Yeah, how
Well,
dare you
no,
have
I
your own
mean,
opinion about so
you're
many
in.
different actors?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I don't know. I liked it, and I liked the comedic factor that they introduced to Ant-Man, because I feel like Ant-Man as a character, I was a little worried about the movie, because, in the comic books, he's Hank Pym, and, he's kind of the technology, and plus they have, like, the whole, like, there was a whole thing with him beating his wife and things like that, so there was some struggle for the character, and Giant Man's pretty interesting. But Ant-Man, I mean, on the face, at the face value, you take his powers and you go, Ant-Man.
Right.
Ant-Man is an
Ant-Man.
Avenger. Ant-Man's an Avenger. And I mean, and so when the movie was coming out, I was like, I mean, because I can understand, I just don't feel like he played the modern superpowers or modern comic books. But he was kind of a holdover from an older age, and I feel like that's why he was kind of in the Avengers, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
In the
just
comic books.
totally.
kind of that flashback there, yeah.
And so, but it was just, I think that they took that comedic value, they introduced some new aspects of his powers to kind of update it and make it feel like, oh, no, he can actually hold his own with the Avengers. This could be a thing. You know what I
Does
mean?
anybody
And
have
I
a
feel like
lemon
Paul Rudd
peel?
captured that aspect of Ant-Man that's really interesting. And plus you have, I like that they introduce somebody who's not a hero to begin with. Paul Rudd is a thief, or his character. I forget what his name is. It's not Hank Pym, but
Scott?
it's,
Is it Scott?
I don't remember,
That
honestly.
tells you all you need to know there.
It's something real, Brett's right. It is something really generic. I mean, because Paul Rudd is Ant-Man in my mind. He captures that aspect of that comedic value, and he kind of plays the role of what Flash does for the Justice League, the comedic relief, right? I don't know. I liked Ant-Man. Thought it was great. Sorry. That was my rant. Sorry, I could talk about
No,
Marvel
that's
movies
fine.
forever.
That's what we're talking about, dude. You're good.
Yeah.
Well, I think we covered Russell's the kind of air quotes top two there. Nick, if you had to choose a
Sorry.
fave. No, dude. You're good. Yes,
Oh.
you should be so sorry.
I'm gonna kick you out.
I don't know. Like the only one I don't like, and I don't consider the Incredible Hulk to be part of it because it's just not
Well, it's not Mark
part of
Ruffalo.
it.
That doesn't count.
Right. And it technically is part of it because it's the same, like the Hulk that we're watching in the Avengers films is the same quote unquote character. But it's not, yeah,
Yeah, I don't count it either.
it's not the roofies.
Well, and they had the tie-in at the end credit scene of the Incredible Hulk. I like the Incredible Hulk personally, but I'm a big Hulk fan.
I liked it, but I didn't. I don't know. I also don't like Edward Norton. I was shocked that they brought him in.
I was too.
Yeah.
I was too.
Like,
So,
out
but
of
anyway,
nowhere, here you go. What?
the really, I don't like Ant-Man, and I don't like the original Incredible Hulk. Well, there hasn't been another Incredible Hulk film part of the MCU, so you know, there's that.
Right.
That's the only two I don't like. The rest of them, like, I could find. Or I could make a case for them being one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
So my favorite character is Tony Stark. I think he's had the most growth, and I think he's probably the most one of the most relatable.
Oh, for sure.
I think the Captain America that they've got in the MCU is a prick, and I love it because everyone always used to think he was pretentious, and I'm like, okay, well he's very pretentious.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
I mean he's gotta be.
Exactly.
He's very holier than thou.
Yep.
Yeah,
Oh,
and I
I'm
can't
Captain
stand it.
America.
Yeah. Oh, see, Captain America's always been one of my favorites.
And he's one of my favorites also, even though I think he's a dick, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean Tony Stark's a dick.
That's true. He's
He's
an
just a dick to be a
unapologetic.
dick though. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even that he's a dick, it's just he's him.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he's aware. I think he's aware that he's a dick, and he's more than okay with it. Captain
Oh, yeah.
America is a dick because he has certain standards, and he will hold to those standards regardless of anybody else's viewpoints on it. And that sometimes makes somebody a dick to other people, you know, because they're gonna take a stance, and they're gonna tell you that their way is better.
Oh yeah. Doctor Strange, I thought was an absolutely phenomenal film.
Yes. Oh man, I forgot about that one too.
Like, oh, I was blown away. There's the ever lovable Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One. I actually really liked that. And I liked that it wasn't like they were having her play a Chinese character. She was an Irish woman, and they actually said that in the movie. Like, because I know there was that whole whitewashing issue with the Ancient One, and
I
which,
thought that
you know,
that
whatever.
was a little bit ridiculous because it is a different character. Like it's an adaptation of that character. They're not trying to say that she is of the Middle East descent like the Ancient One was. And it was never really even clear on what race he was. I mean, it heavily hinted that he was Middle Eastern, but I mean, there was no
Asian,
specific
Far
thing
Eastern,
that
yeah.
was like, yeah. And then, I'm sorry, not Middle East. You're right, Far East. That's what I meant. But I love that they made the Ancient One a woman. I thought that was brilliant. And her as the Ancient One, I thought it was. I enjoyed it. I thought that was a great adaptation of it. It was a great modern take on Doctor Strange.
Let's see.
And
What
Baron
else has there
Mordo,
been? Yeah.
just coming out of the, you know, he's
He's not even really
the.
a bad guy yet.
Yeah, well, I love the end credit scene, you know. Not to spoil anything, hopefully everybody's seen it, but you know, when he comes in and he's killing that guy because he feels like
You
the
shouldn't be
people who've
alive.
right, well the people who have acquired this magical power, they're all tainted, you know. They're all corrupt. And so now I'm gonna take all that power away because none of you deserve it.
Right.
And I thought that that was a really interesting take on Baron Mordo, and Dormammu was that kind of cosmic being of Dormammu, and the kind of way that Doctor Strange defeated him, I thought that was brilliant. I was like, this is
Oh, I loved
amazing.
it.
Plus the style in the movie, that they captured that very 70s psychedelic aspect of Doctor Strange in a very cool way.
I agree completely.
The shifting of the landscapes and that kind of mirror aspect of a lot of things, it just
It was like a kaleidoscope, which is
it was
like,
oh yeah, it was
yeah,
brilliant.
they did a very good job, I thought, to a hero that I never took seriously.
I've always been a Doctor Strange fan. Doctor Strange is probably my favorite Marvel hero. Just because I'm a big fantasy person, and so somebody who's a wizard is just awesome. And so I was like, yes, this is right up my alley. And then of course I'm a big Benedict Cumberbatch fan, because I think that he's a phenomenal actor, and he's a chameleon. He blends in, and but his the thing that he's most famous for, Sherlock Holmes, being able to that kind of intelligent smarmy was perfect for Doctor Strange.
Yeah, especially, when you consider who he's supposed to be and the reputation he's supposed to have.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that one was really good. And Thor Ragnarok, the music, and I like that, again, spoilers. So if you haven't seen Thor Ragnarok, go watch it and then come back. The accepting of his mantle, the mantle of Odin, right? Of becoming something more than he was, which I hope lends into the furtherance of the Marvel universe, because eventually a lot of these actors, they're gonna age out, right?
Right, but they've built in this mechanic that, oh, someone else can do it.
Right. Well, and they've also introduced, okay, this actor can probably stick around for a while, maybe not as the action centerpiece, but as the mentor, with probably his still cool action scenes, because Chris Hemsworth is probably what, late 30s?
I think so.
So he's probably still got a few good years left in him. But even, once, he becomes the age of Harrison Ford, is the only person I can think of, he'll still be able to get in. He'll still be able to be part of the universe, which I thought is a nice touch.
Who are we talking about?
We were talking about Thor Ragnarok.
Who's old is Harrison Ford?
Nobody. I was just saying that if they kind of built in, because now that Thor has taken on the mantle of Odin, they've kind of built in this way of keeping him around as a mentor for the next Thor, you know what I
Oh,
mean?
gotcha. Yeah. If they're able to keep making movies forever, yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's
I
what I
am a
was saying.
movie. You are. I am a movie.
I'm the very model of a modern major general.
I'm the very general of a modern major mackerel.
I
I'm the
hope not.
Sultan of the Sea.
Da 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 da.
That was a scary long pause. I was really worried there.
I mean, I know what it's from. It's from The Lost Ark. No, it's Last Crusade, isn't it? No. It is The Lost Ark.
It is the Lost Ark where it's referenced, but the original song he's singing is from the same show that the modern general's from.
Is it?
Yes, it is a
I
song in that
don't
show.
remember that song.
How dare you?
I feel bad. I mean, I've seen Pirates of Penzance on a couple of different occasions. Different versions of it as well. Have you seen there was like this 80s version of Pirates of Penzance
Yes.
where
It
it was like
was
this
so
girl
cheeseburgers. So
it was like
bad.
this girl that was a teenager in the 80s, and she gets knocked unconscious or something, and she has this dream about the Pirates of Penzance, and like
The whole movie's
the
like
pirate
filmed in
king.
someone's backyard, yeah.
The most hilarious thing was the pirate king and his golden crotch. He had the most glittery codpiece I have ever seen in my entire life. It was
Oh my
amazing.
God.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. Absolutely wondrous.
Just all
Oh
these
my
different
God.
gems and stuff on it, and it was very obviously a codpiece. It was eye searing.
So did you ever get around to pinpointing like a not maybe not a favorite, but like a top list for yourself, Nick?
For
Just so
which?
I know where to go forward for Marvel movies.
Oh.
Just so I know where to go forward from, if that happened or not.
Iron Man, all three of them,
Iron
and the Thor films, I think in
Man.
that order, are my favorites.
Wow. Yeah, no, I remember when Iron Man came out, we'd had a few disappointing superhero movies for a while there in that time period. And I was like, all
Yeah.
right, well, we'll see how this goes. And I was like, oh my God, I need more of this in my life. That
The
was
trailers, I thought the
life-changing.
trailers looked stupid. I was like, this looks dumb. It's going to be just like every other freaking superhero movie. And then Robert Downey Jr. gave his Tony Stark performance and just,
Hit it out of the
what?
park. Oh, it was so
Like,
good.
he is Tony Stark.
I
Or
don't
is Tony
know.
Stark
See,
Robert Downey Jr.? Dun dun dun.
I think that he will be one that they will have to keep. Like,
And
I
they'll
don't know if
hit.
anybody else can do Iron Man like he can.
I
And
agree.
I think that that's doable though, because most of the time, even if they, so they can keep Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man conceivably forever because he's not in the Iron Man costume. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, that's true.
you can have the computer animated Iron Man costume doing whatever he needs to do while Robert Downey Jr. is just playing Tony
He could
Stark. You know what
easily
I mean?
take on like a Nick Fury kind of role at some point.
Right,
Oh yeah.
exactly. And that's eventually in even in the comics, he does
Yeah.
that. He becomes
Yeah.
the benefactor
Exactly.
and the financier
Right.
of the Avengers. But
Excellent
yeah, Iron Man's
decisions.
my favorite, and Thor is Thor. I didn't take seriously. I thought Thor was stupid beyond all imagination until I saw the first film. And then I was like, wow, they actually pulled this off.
Right, Thor is
Like
actually kind of cool.
they pulled it off, and
Yeah.
they did the whole, any technology that's sufficiently advanced is indistinguishable from magic. Like they did that for him being quote unquote the god of thunder. Like they're not gods. They know they're not gods. It's explained by Anthony Hopkins' prologue of the first film. Like
Right.
so. And then like, okay, well if there are nine realms, then how come the rest of the galaxy and universe exists? And then in Thor Ragnarok they have, Kate Blanchett's character, who I won't name if anyone hasn't seen it yet, say like the Allfather, the Conqueror, Odin, conquered all nine realms. Yes, nine. He stopped at nine. I was like,
Right.
oh, there you go. He stopped at nine. That's cool.
Right.
Like they're acknowledging the rest of the. So yeah, I just the Thor films, I think, knock solidifying that character in the MCU out of the park. And
Yes.
the Iron Man films, I think we see the most character development out of any character in the entire MCU, just in his own personal arc.
Oh, definitely. I'll
So,
agree to that.
but I mean, I could talk about the Iron Man films forever. So, I'll be quiet now. I haven't mentioned the Avengers films themselves because I think those stand alone, and obviously they're going to be kick butt.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's kind of an easy opt out to throw those into your top list.
But I will say the writing in Age of Ultron was just immaculate. The word choices that they used for some characters, specifically Ultron and Vision,
Oh,
just
and
like you could sit there
James
as
Spader as the
Ultron.
voice of Ultron was
So good.
inspired.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Well, the thing I liked with Age of Ultron was like it was the big Avengers, everyone's together, there's a big bad guy, everyone's got to fight together. But at the same time, there was still a lot of character development for like characters we had and brand new characters on top of everything, and it flowed seamlessly and it was a good pace, and the movie ended and you were like, really? It didn't feel that long, but it got all that accomplished. Holy crap. And that's good writing.
So we had that beautiful sequence at the church scene at the end, the climax,
Yes.
where Ultron's trying to get to the thing to drop the city, and they have to fight and protect it. And you see the beautiful, like, slow motion, intercut scenes of all the Avengers fighting around it, and like they're protecting each other, and the
Yes.
music, you're hearing Danny Elfman's evolved version of the Avengers theme that we heard in the first one. That kind of, because the Avengers theme, it felt like there was, if you think of music as like a conversation, question, answer, or whatever, the original Avengers theme had only half of that conversation in it, and then like you hear the notes and the secondary portion that Danny Elfman added in, and then you have like a full musical conversation happening. I loved that. I thought that was fantastic, and that sequence is one of my favorite sequences in the entire MCU. Probably for no other reason than the sequence plays out as normal, beautiful, widescreen, and then all of a sudden you see sideways orientation, Thor like kick something in the chest.
Right.
It's like, wait, what?
300
He's side
style.
like what? He's sideways. Like I don't get it. It's yeah, so
You know, something
anyway.
else cool about that movie is like so the ending credits, right? Where they are, so everybody is posed like these Greek gods, right? The statues
Oh
of these
yeah.
Greek gods, and so it's this idea of they are gods, like this is what they've taken upon themselves as the protection of, everybody, to help them grow, and the way other people view them now as gods, which is then an interesting dichotomy to. The lead in to Captain America Civil War, where, people worship them, but then there are also people that are scared because they're so powerful, and so they want assurances, they want protection from these people that, if they decided to turn on us, we would be screwed,
Right. Well, that,
so.
and just because they're super powerful doesn't mean that they shouldn't have to play by the rules.
Exactly.
Right. So, yeah, I love that Age of Ultron was just beautifully positioned as the prelude to the Civil War.
Well, and I liked, and just another like small story arc they did is, in the first Avengers movie, Hawkeye kind of, he got turned and he was like the bad guy almost for most of the movie. And I liked how in Age of Ultron, because there's a lot of people that are like, well, he turned evil and he's just got a bow. Like, why is he even there? Because people don't know any better. And I liked how in Age of Ultron they really pushed his character as kind of the rock. That he doesn't have any, there's no powers, anything, and he's just got a bow and he's got training, But he kind of, in his own way, held everything together to,
Right.
because he had to, and then to also prove himself because of what happened in the past. And I liked how they pushed that story arc and made it flow through everything else too.
Well, they even made him say, like, 'cause he gave that, hype up speech to Scarlet Witch or Wanda, and he's like, we're fighting alien robots, and I have a bow and arrow. None of this makes sense.
We're fighting floating. We're fighting robots on a city that's flying in the sky, and I
Oh,
have a
yep.
bow and arrow. None of this makes sense. Yeah, that was one of the best lines ever.
So good.
So get out there and fight, and just dives back out the window. Doesn't I loved that mo he didn't even wait to hear for an answer. He's like, "You gonna do something?" And then just like went ahead and dove out. Like, I don't care what you decide. I said what I needed to say. I'm out.
Because I've already made my decision.
Exactly.
Right.
Your decisions being to be made. Yeah. I liked his character a lot and how they pushed him forward.
I
They did
think
good.
he's a cool character. I mean, there is a lot of, he's just a guy with a bow and arrow. But he's cool.
Yeah.
Like, He's just a guy with a bow and arrow going up against people that have godlike powers.
And he doesn't care. He's
And
like, yeah,
he's like,
this is day to day.
it's,
I'll do what I gotta
well,
do.
and I, it's not necessarily that he doesn't care, but he's like, it's gotta get done and somebody's gotta do it. It might as well be me. You know what I mean? That's what it seems to me his character is like, somebody's gotta do it. I do have skills and I've been put in the position, so I'm gonna do what I can to make sure that it gets done for the protection of my family.
Oh, and I
I
love
like
that
that.
scene with his family at the house. That was so much fun. Just a bunch of, the Avengers awkwardly standing in the living room trying to step around toys and Legos. All families are running around like, yep, this is kind of super out of my element. That was kind of a fun thing.
I agree
They can
completely.
go through a wormhole into alien space and fight everything, but a living room with Legos is like the most awkward thing they could possibly go through.
Well, you know, it's that kind of soldier mentality of, you know, these are warriors, and they have no idea how to have lives outside of being warriors.
Except Hawkeye,
And I like that
apparently.
they've captured that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, for me, I'm going to dive in here.
Yeah, what's your favorite?
Honestly, my favorite so far, and I mean, they're just obviously phenomenal, but I think the one that hooked me the most was definitely Guardians of the Galaxy.
Good
When
choice.
that movie came out, because I was worried, that was one of those that I was worried when I heard they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I was like, how the hell do you make a movie out of that? Like, it doesn't make sense. How, there's no way they could do this right. And so I went to the movie with super low expectations. And it is a super well-paced movie. I just it was there was no low point. There was no, like, if you go back to rewatch, there's no scene where you're like, okay, I just got to make it through this one scene, like some movies have, It was just entertaining, well-paced from beginning to end, and it was thoroughly entertaining, and obviously that was when they really hit the just all-out comedy the whole time, and I love Chris Pratt, so yeah, that movie
Well, and I
definitely
mean,
hit the top for me. I've watched that more than any of the other ones. Easy.
well, and at the time, it was so different from any of the other Marvel movies that we had seen. Because it was this, you're right, it had this comedic pacing to it that was, it was very different, and the characters were wacky
Should
and
not have been
not,
together, but they are.
what, and yeah, and they're different. Like, they're different from any superhero that you've seen in the movies or in the comic books. They just exist in a completely different frame. You know, they're not really good guys. I mean, honestly, and I mean, I love at the end where Drax is like, "Can I kill people?" And he's like, "No,
No,
you
that is
definitely
murder.
shouldn't do that. That's murder." Yeah.
If I
And
see
so I
something I want, can I take it? No, that's stealing. But what if I want it more than the other guy? Still stealing.
I
Seriously.
liked the 'cause it was a great film that just kind of embraced its own unique, at the time, unique brand of humor. I love the scene where they're all standing up, when Rocket's like, okay, now we're all standing around like a bunch of jackasses.
There, I stood up.
Like, I thought that was good.
And it's not afraid to poke fun of it at itself. Like, it doesn't
No.
take itself too seriously, and I think that that lends really well to the kind of thing that they were trying to build, especially with that particular team.
Yeah.
And I think that that particular team works because they're like, they kind of look at the world with a smile and a laugh at these really dark things. Like, I mean, if you think about it, Ronan the Destroyer was, you know, trying to commit genocide and destroy an entire planet worth of people, and they, and Star-Lord has a dance off with him to distract him.
What are you doing? Dance off, bro, me and you.
I'm
Speaking
distracting
of.
you, big turd blossom.
Yes, that was it.
Right.
I'm distracting you big turd blossom. Oh, that was
Speaking
so
of all
good.
of that, I loved the NovaCore music. Like the scene where all the NovaCore ships are locking together to form the shield. Like that musical theme, I whistle that all the time. And it took me a while to realize what I was whistling. I was like, oh, damn, this is so good.
And the second one, I mean, we've talked a lot about the first one. The second one was just as good in my mind. And I love the introduction of the original Guardians of the Galaxy, because you know
Yes.
Yondu and what
Yondu.
was his name? Yondu, thank you. And Hawk, Sylvester Stallone's character.
Yeah, I don't know who he's supposed to be.
And even so the at the very end credits you see like the snake dude, right? Who is doing thing he is so the original Guardians of the Galaxy were like 200 years past the current storyline of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the Marvel comics in general. And he was actually the next Sorcerer Supreme who had been trained by Stephen Strange.
Adam Warlock.
No, not Adam Warlock. It was the Serpent Guy. The introduction, the lead-in of Adam Warlock is going to be really interesting. I wonder if he's going to be in the Infinity War because he played such a big part in the
Right.
comic book storyline of the Infinity War, and I didn't think they were going to introduce him. I thought that they were going to use Star-Lord as like the Adam Warlock tie-in, him being the son of Ego and like a half god and stuff like that. I was like, oh, they're just going to have Star-Lord play that role that he played in the comic books. And then to have that introduction that might be a thing of Adam Warlock coming in would be really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, the thing I really like with Guardians of the Galaxy is, and before Thor came, Ragnarok came out, like there was always Marvel, and it was all on Earth, and then Thor stuff, but like Guardians of the Galaxy made the universe part happen. That's when you got to see. I like different world buildings and seeing like thoughts for different cultures that could exist, and they just had as much fun as they possibly could in the first one, and then they went even further in the second one and just pushed all the boundaries to make a super wacky out of this world color palette galaxy we live in, but make it feel real,
And can we just talk about Baby Groot for a second?
Baby Groot's
Because
hilarious. Baby Groot's,
Baby Groot was
I
like
think angsty teenager Groot is almost better,
so much better. Oh
but
my gosh. Oh,
oh my
so
God.
funny.
The scene where he's trying to get the fin thingy for the top of Yondu's head.
Yes.
That was
No,
just
not that.
look, just I just yeah.
I was so sad when Yondu died because like by the end of that movie I had fallen in love with him as a character. Like they had just done such a good job of developing his character through the second movie that when and it was so good because when he died it actually like it hits you in the
Oh,
heart
hard.
and they yeah and so like that means that they did a fantastic job of making him a character that you love. You
Oh
know what I
yeah.
mean?
Well, and it doesn't help that like 2 minutes before he died was the like, I was your real daddy your whole
I
life,
was your
basically.
father.
Yeah. Like
Oh,
that
yeah. He's like,
happened, and
he
then he
may
died.
have been your father,
But he ain't your daddy.
Yeah, and
Or
you're like,
no, he may have
oh.
been your father, but I'm your daddy. It was like, oh,
Yeah.
find out. Oh, such a good movie.
Yeah, it
The writers
really
even
was.
came out and they were like, we knew we had to kill someone to like, make the story progress, but they were like, we wrote Yondu so good that we were so sad we killed him because he was such a fun character to write. They were like, I kind of wish we chose someone else.
Because in the first movie, you like Yondu. He's cool. You know, he's a cool character. And plus, when he takes out that entire squadron and just like. just.
Oh, and on
And
that
takes him
note,
out.
I have to throw in that scene in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when he kills the whole crew.
Oh, man.
That, hands down, I'm not lying here, I have told many of people this, is the most eye-pleasing scene I have ever witnessed in a movie, period.
And well choreographed.
Just from beginning to end, with the music, the choreography, the sound design, the camera angles, the color palette, I was just like, this is the most pleasing thing I've ever witnessed with my eyes in a movie ever.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So good. I was in tears when it finished. I was like, that was so beautiful.
Yes. And Groot was so vicious.
Right?
Like, oh man.
Rah!
Oh.
No, seriously, like that scene hit me so hard. Like I when I went back to watch it the second time is when I finally understood what happened in the second half of the movie. Because like the first time I went in there, all I could think about was that scene, and the movie ended, and like Lisa was like, "I can't believe that happened." And I was like, "Could you believe that scene from like an hour ago?" That's all I could think about.
Oh my God.
And it's this interesting thing of, the Ravagers are Yondu's family, right? But Star Lord was his son. And so it's like, I'm willing, I'm killing my entire family to save my son.
Right.
All my friends. Let me say it that way. The Ravagers were his friends, but Star Lord was his family. And so he's like,
Yeah, I
and the
like that.
brutality, oof, oof. It's just, I feel like you don't see that a lot in the Marvel movies, but like Guardians of the Galaxy, they didn't pull a whole lot of punches. I mean, Yondu is sending his arrow through people's head with no, no compunction. Just like, eh, whatever.
I miss Yondu.
Yes, but I do like, gosh, I can't remember his name. The guy who takes his fin, and he was Kirk in Gilmore Girls.
I can't remember what his name is.
Gosh, he is actually, so he is the person that stands in for the CGI of Rocket Raccoon. I forget what it's called, but he's the mocap for Rocket
Isn't
Raccoon.
he the director's brother?
He is.
Something done.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone forever. It's not coming back. You,
Wanna
me.
watch Guardians 2
Yeah, I was actually just thinking that. I was like, when we get done with this podcast, I am
now?
so watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I think Brett disappeared again.
You might be dead.
What else? What else is a good one?
They're all good.
They really are. They really hit something there. And I wish DC was able to capture it, because there are some really good characters in DC too that I would like to see on the big screen, but not with what DC's doing at the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did enjoy Justice League. Like, I did.
I
But
did too.
too many like issues.
Yeah, let me say this. It was a good movie. It was not on the same caliber that the Marvel movies have been.
Oh yeah.
They weren't true to their characters. And I think that that's something that can be said for the Marvel Studios' Marvel movies. They are often true to their characters, true to the essence of the characters from the comic books.
I
And
think
DC just hasn't
one
found
thing,
that yet.
well, one pivotal difference, and this is why I think DC is really struggling when it comes to coming to the big screen, is if you look at like traditional Marvel versus DC comics,
Right.
Marvel has always had the complex heroes and the two-dimensional boring villains.
Yes.
DC is the other way around. DC has the two-dimensional
That's
boring
very true.
heroes and the super complex villains. And so now they're trying to bring these heroes that have never really been more than face value to the big screen. And it's like,
Right.
the Dark Knight syndrome, where, okay, screw Christian Bale. We want to watch that. We want to watch the Joker. Like, give me more of the Joker. Or even Scarecrow from the first one. Okay, that's more interesting than angsty old Batman. Like, come on, give us more of that.
I thought that Christian Bale was a good Batman up until The Dark Knight. Might be one of my favorite movies, especially because of the essence that Heath Ledger captured of Joker. His Joker has, as far as the cinema goes, has probably been the best Joker,
Oh gosh,
in
yeah.
my opinion.
Jared Leto's Joker in Suicide Squad is an embarrassment.
He was a gangster, which I thought was very strange. I mean, like, I could see where he was trying to go, kind of, and I wonder, was there more that he did with the character that they cut out? Because apparently there were a lot of scenes with Joker just cut out of the movie
I
entirely.
just, he's gross looking and he sounds dumb and just, I think that whole concept for the character is failed. It's failed. A rephrase, it is a failed attempt to distance itself from a performance they know they can't replicate.
I think so too. I would agree with that statement. I mean, Heath Ledger, and I just he had that scariness that
He
was
had that complete
quintessential
sense of
Joker.
unpredictability. Like, at any given second, you had no idea what he was going to do.
And I think that's what makes the best villains is not, they're not. I feel like some people they make their villains too angry, too. They're just angry all the time, and they have that homicidal rage, and which is all well and good, but to really get a good villain that people are drawn to is this kind of unpredictableness of they're cold and calculating, but they can flip a switch and kill somebody without any qualms, and then be smooth the next moment, and like it never happened. Like the moment when Joker says, the famous "Let me show you a magic trick," right?
Dude, that
Oh.
talk about like an intro, 'cause that's really the first time you see him without
Yes.
any other, like, 'cause you see him in the beginning, but he's got the mask on. That's not really the Joker. That's his introduction is, how about a magic trick?
Oh,
And
right.
then,
Fun
ta-da!
fact.
What?
Fun fact, the mask the Joker wore at the bank robbery scene at the beginning is the was made to replicate the face that of Joker's first appearance in the television show in the 60s. It was
Cool,
an
really.
homage to that, yeah. So that was his mask was the makeup from the like the original Joker showing up in any sort of live action.
I mean, I
Was
wish he
that
wouldn't make stuff
for
like
that
that up.
Adam
Fun
West?
homage.
Yeah, from that show.
Interesting.
But so The Dark Knight was great. The Dark Knight Returns was, in my opinion, terrible. It was corny, it was predictable, it was. It was awkwardly paced. I'll agree with that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did
It
think.
didn't end.
Oh, go ahead.
It just never. It was one of those movies that you could tell it was still going. And you're like, all right, I so liked are we Bane. gonna wrap up this story anytime soon? Because you're kind of
I
making it.
thought Bane not having any of like the chief characteristics that made him Bane, I thought was really weird. But I will say, the end near the end when Batman and Catwoman, and I have a point I want to make about Catwoman in a moment. But when they're fighting their way back into the city. That's the first time to me Batman was ever scary in that trilogy.
Oh yeah. Because he just went
Like, 'cause he's
crazy.
creeping in the shadows, and he had that brutal violence that Batman always had. But despite the fact that he'd never kill anyone, like, he'd punch through a wall. And that's one thing I really think that the Justice League Batman, or the DCU Batman, is really capturing, is that like brutal,
Yes.
terrorizing sense that Batman is supposed to have. So I love that, and I think Catwoman, I actually enjoyed the fact that she was just a cat burglar, and that's why they called her Catwoman. Like, and then the only nod they had to her traditional costume was that her like infrared goggles sit up on top of her head, and they slightly resemble cat ears. I thought that was really clever, because after the Halle Berry disaster, like, they needed to
Oof,
separate
yeah.
themselves
Whoa,
from tradition.
listen. That was the
Well, and
best
the
movie ever.
well, and the Batman, that trilogy was very, it was very much more realistic Batman, if that makes any sense.
No,
It
for
was,
sure.
because
It was
the
a very
Joker,
gritty.
he had the scars that gave him the smile instead of, the Jack Nicholson Joker where he'd fallen into a vat of chemical waste, and
the what was it, Scarecrow, it was all a very realistic representation of Batman and his qualities. I mean, realistic, more realistic than the comic books, you know what I mean? They didn't have Killer Croc or anything like that where, you had these kind of supernatural villains or, what have you. And so I did like Bane, and here's the reason, because the Bane in the comic books, he's the only man to have ever broken the bat. He is
Literally.
the only villain to have ever successfully defeated Batman. And defeated him to the point to where he didn't come back for years. I mean, in comics, I mean, months, I think, is essentially what it was. I don't know if it was years, really, but it was, he
A
didn't
good
come
chunk of
back.
time.
He not only broke his body, he broke his mind, which was this intense thing. I mean, for Batman, especially at that time in the comic books, this was some intense stuff, So I like that they captured that kind of essence of Bane, where he's not only a physical threat, but he's a mental threat as well. I mean, he's a planner, he's a tactician. He will find you, and he will do what he needs to do to defeat you. I didn't like that they kind of rewrote his story, where he wasn't the one who escaped the prison, and what was it? That Christian Bale also healed himself of a broken back within a matter of weeks? Because that's a thing.
All right.
And then also he had like that bum knee that was like a problem at the very beginning of the movie, but then wasn't a problem ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, his suit is supposed to compensate, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but he was walking around without his suit for a while too, and he didn't have an issue. So the third one, in my opinion, is the worst of that trilogy,
Yeah, no, I'll
by
agree.
far.
And I think it really shows that their intention had been to continue the Joker storyline, and they weren't able to.
I would agree with that.
I have.
So, 'cause
I
if you take every like the entire plot of Bane throughout that film, what happens and the way it happens, transplant the Joker into the person making all of that happen, and oh wow, that all makes sense because it doesn't make sense.
That's actually very accurate. The worst part of that movie was when because I saw it coming from a mile away, the autopilot, and it felt like a thing that you would have seen like back in the 90s in like an action movie where, the guy flies the helicopter with a nuclear bomb out over the ocean and it blows up, but oh wait, he really wasn't in there. He dove in the ocean to save himself. And I just thought that was the cheesiest, stupidest thing to have Batman autopilot the Batcopter out over the ocean to blow up the nuclear bomb, because I feel like it's been done in every cartoon, every 90s cartoon, every 90s action movie.
Oh, for
It's the
sure.
stupidest ending I've ever seen. And when
Now,
you're
if you
sitting there at the cafe, I'm like, this is it. I'm done with this.
take that and you make it like, okay, Joker versus Batman. The Joker thinks he's got Batman's number. He knows Batman, the ever chivalrous, he'll drive the bomb out by himself, and that's the end of the bat. You know, and then you have Batman going, coming back and being like, yeah, no, I'm capable of being unpredictable too.
Yeah, but then he
You know,
retires.
I don't feel like it was the end of a movie.
Yeah, but then he
I feel like that
retires.
was, well, that's why I don't think it was part, I don't think that was supposed to be the end of the film.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying.
Like I genuinely think they took like a recycled script and screenplay and made a movie.
It just, yeah. It's just.
So,
And
yeah, I
honest,
have my
The
own
Dark Knight Returns. Well, they couldn't come up with a more original title.
Oh, it was hilariously bad. The Dark Knight Rises even, which wouldn't that be the first instance of the Dark Knight title?
Was it The Dark Knight Rises? I thought it was The Dark
Yeah.
Knight Returns.
No, it
Oh,
was
well
Dark
then.
Knight Rises.
Yep.
Or Night, they could have done Night Rises. Anything.
Yeah, literally
They could
anything
have
would have
done
made
a
more.
lot
Dark
of
Knight
different things.
3. Batman 3. Like, I don't even. Batman laughs. Like, come on, people.
Darkest night, darkerest night.
Tin Can. I mean, Bane.
Right. Yeah, I have my own personal reasons for certain reasons for disliking the movie, but you know.
What are those?
The whole theater thing where I was almost there that night. Yeah.
Aurora, right?
Yes. The Aurora shooting. I was actually almost there that night and got called into work. So yeah,
Obviously, we're all glad.
didn't know
I
that.
have many issues. Yeah, I still have a hard time with that movie just because of the memories from that.
I don't
We were
blame you.
we heard about it at work, and there was a group of people I was going to go with from work, and the rest of us that were there were just frantically trying to call people and figure out who was still, if anyone we worked with had been shot, and how that was, you know. So that was a fun night.
I don't suppose it was fun, actually.
No, definitely not. So yeah, that's that movie for me.
All the more reason to dislike it.
Right. That's a
And there are
happy note.
already so many.
Right. Man. Well, any other points we want to hit here tonight?
Don't think so. We never did get your top favorites, did we?
That started the Guardians of the Galaxy talk.
Yes.
LaGuardia of the Galaxy.
Well, that was my, I'd say my second was Doctor Strange, actually. He hit me out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting to love that one as much as I did.
That one
I
was a good
love,
one.
I still tear up in the scene with the Ancient One
Oh,
when she
yes.
dies, where she's like, you know, I've had centuries, centuries. You'd think I'd be tired and ready to welcome death like an old friend, but here I am, stretching out the last moments just to watch the snow fall. And it's like, what? And then he looks out and yeah, the rain looks like snow because of the slowed time. Like, aw. Just
Yeah,
so
oh, that
sad.
was crazy.
God, that was such a good movie.
Right.
I want to watch
Oh,
that one too. I
so
just need to
good.
watch all the
Right.
Marvel movies now. Just all of them again.
I'm getting on the next plane. We'll do a marathon tomorrow.
Shoot, come on.
Oh man. I do remember thinking during like that scene was amazing, but I remember about halfway through remembering how like the time difference with how quickly he falls, and about like halfway that scene, I was like, he had to have hit his head on the floor by now. Like, did someone
But
catch him? Like, I don't know.
she's
Should he be
there, so
dead?
like he's undoubtedly like, I don't know. I took that as like he's gotten infinitely better at astral projection.
Well,
That
that
could
was
be.
the first
Because he's,
that was the
well, he
first
doesn't,
one.
because when that scene
Because she
started,
doesn't, right?
when he left his body to go talk to her, like it started falling as he left it.
Yeah. Doesn't
I'm
mean
trying to remember which
time
one
is
they're
going
calling
the
that.
same speed.
Yeah, that was just my initial thought because of what happened earlier in the movie. I couldn't help but halfway through go, I wonder if it's going to pull him back to his body all of a sudden because he hit the floor.
Right, and there it's like, I feel like, because, you know, when he sits in his, or when he was studying in astral form, like imagine how much time he's actually studying there. Like, possibly years every night. And
Oh,
we know
easily.
that that's how he operates because of his medical profession. Like, if he's going to do it, he's going to be the best, period. End
Yep.
of story.
And he literally said that, yeah. But yeah, no, Doctor, that was one of those I went in going, this is going to be a good movie. And then I left going, I did
That
not
was a
expect
great
that.
movie.
I need to go watch it again right now. But yeah, that's for me.
God damn it. Oh,
Well,
sorry. Widowmaker just killed me.
so I'm going to start wrapping this up here so I can go back to taking care of my wonderful family. And
Okay.
I can't wait to edit this so I can actually hear 80% of the
See,
excited. It's just Nick and I waxing poetic about all the Marvel movies.
That's perfect.
Pretty much.
It's all good. Thank you for joining us for Just Some Guardians episode 12. Once again, this was our Nerd Talk, obviously. Next week, we'll be diving back into Destiny, discussing Crimson Days, and I think we'll be like towards the end of the next faction rally, so we can discuss that a little bit and whatnot going there. So when we do this show, we are live on Twitch. That is twitch.tv/justsomeguardians. You can dive in there, join the conversation. We'll get you in on the show and interact with you from there. It'll be super fun. You'll be famous. How wonderful. We are on Twitter at JSGcast. You can reach us there. If you have any questions or comments or ideas, you can send us an email at justsomeguardians@gmail.com. We are on the iTunes and Podbean and all your other wonderful choices of podcast apps. Once again, some of those, if you're trying to find us on some weird ones, there's no space between just some and Guardians. So that is how you find us. I didn't look to see if we had a new iTunes review.
I can't check at the moment, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know you're
We
fighting
probably
some
will after
incense.
next week. Ooh, you should plug your appearance.
There's the last 10 minutes have just been like crazy loud button mashing.
I know, I encountered our little friend Angitath.
Oh, beautiful. I'm opening iTunes real quick. So you can find
You should
me
also.
on Twitter at Elmer Fudd Games and on the
That's
Twitch at Elmer Fudd Games. A double M,
Lim
double
Double
D.
D.
That's my size.
Ratings and reviews. Nope, no new reviews. Just that I love Rice Krispie treats, eh? Yeah, that's it.
I still think you should plug your appearance in that show next week.
Oh yeah. Anyone that's interested, next Sunday I will be guesting on the Destiny Addicts podcast, and that I think they do that one live on Twitch. But that probably won't be posted till much later in the week. But yeah, so come on, jump over there if you've haven't heard of them. Why are you listening to us? They're bigger. But but yeah, so yeah,
But
I'm really
we have
excited and
more
nervous.
heart.
It'll be my first time on another show, so I'm excited and nervous. I finally like they invited me a while ago, and I was finally like, all right, here we go. Whew, get over yourself.
I
Okay,
mean,
anxiety to the side. I'm going for it. Push the button. Okay, I'm in. That's it. I'm done. All right, I have to do it now. So yes,
that's so
I'm excited for
exciting.
that. Did you ever get
We're so proud of you,
your
Brad.
gaming Twitter there made, Russell? The effervescent one.
No. No, but it's going to be a thing.
Okay, good. I look forward to it. I know everyone was waiting very patiently. Our
With bated breath.
India listeners especially, we're very very excited.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm very
Absolutely.
popular in India.
Absolutely. All right. Well, once again, thank you for joining us for Just Some Guardians. Russell, take us out.
Join us next week on Just Some Guardians for mutual chaos and utter incompetency.
Dun dun dun.
When are we gonna get together and do our ukulele intro song?
We're
Alright.
gonna have a ukulele song?
Yeah, me and Russell decided last week that we're gonna write an intro song and play it with ukuleles for Just Some Guardians.
I am so down for that.
I'm pumped.
Is
It'll be
it gonna
good.
have like lyrics?
Will you play the triangle for us?
Only if I can have a solo.
And the kazoo.